You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Delirious. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Good afternoon, Auburn Tiger fans. The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 9:35 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, powered by the friendly folks at collegemagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I at Center Crow 213. Find me at Center Crow on Venmo. It's one side of me, not here, absent, without leave. The rumor monger Ryan S. Starrett, the S stands for sleeping, I guess. I don't know what he's doing, actually. He's not going to be on the show tonight. The other side of me, bringing you the full Fort Payne ASMR you pay extra money for, is the AU chief.
Hello.
Gotcha. To the other side of me, another guest, Dr. Will McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group.
Just a normal day in paradise as far as Auburn, life of an Auburn sports fan. Nothing to see here.
Just another manic Monday, as they say.
That's right.
That's right.
They do say that. The Bangles say that.
Is that the best Bangles song?
Walk Like an Egyptian's pretty
good. Yeah.
It is good, but if you're going to go listen to a, when was the last time you listened to a Bengals song? I just tuned it up real quick.
You know, Manic Monday is a cover.
Right, that's true.
Of a Prince written song. And I believe it was either performed by Vanity or Apollonia, and I can't remember which. Before the Bengals, but the Bengals made it famous. So
nice. Also performed by Reliant K in one of their covers.
I can't let a mention of Apollonia go by without mentioning that is a friend of the show, Al Cotero's cousin.
No way.
First cousin.
His first cousin's Apollonia?
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
I know. It blew my mind the first time he told me that.
And she bathed in the what does he say? The cleansing waters of whatever lake it is.
Minnetonka? Yeah.
Bathe in the cleansing waters of Lake Minnetonka. Let's see, if Ryan was on the show, we'd have to be explaining all of this, all these references to him right now.
Yes.
Ryan,
I can listen to this. Ryan and have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
So Prince was a recording artist in the late 80s and into the, I guess, late 2010s. And he had a movie that came out called Purple Rain with a companion album, which is just bangers only, top to bottom.
Straight fire. Just hot and acid fire.
In that movie, he tells this woman, the movie is like a,
Apollonia is the female lead in the movie as well.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a giant, long music video.
And it's amazing. Holds up. Purple Rain, the movie, holds up. Good. And in the movie, he tells her to bathe in the cleansing waters of Lake Minnetonka. And he does this completely unironically. Dead seriously. He uses that phrase. And it works.
It was a staple. Like, it ran all the time on WGN.
Yeah,
when we were kids.
You don't have to explain what WGN is to me. I do know what that is, at least.
So. Yes.
Well, there we go. It was in heavy rotation along with Romancing the Stone, which was also one of their heavy rotation hits. It's a great movie as well. Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, wonderful. Danny DeVito, I think, bad guy in that. Anyway.
Yeah. Danny DeVito is the back.
I think he's in it. It's been a long time. I'm trying to think of how we could bring Danny DeVito back around to Auburn football or basketball or anything, and I just can't do it. So
Danny DeVito was a bit short. Everyone else was a bit short. Auburn fan celebration of hiring Lane Kiffin as their coach tonight. people thought it was getting hired today, it seemed like, or announced today. I saw everything from he's being announced like on the field after the Egg Bowl to he's going to just walk into a press conference with Auburn behind him.
He's going to walk straight off the field and get into a Uber Black and ride to the airport and come straight here.
You would think after what happened Saturday night, that was going to happen after the game at Arkansas, looking at the score when it was 42-6 Arkansas. I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
That gave a lot of Auburn fans a little pause, I think. The ones that weren't totally convinced anyway. Personally, I don't think you can judge based on one single game anyone, really. So, but it was pretty ugly in Fayetteville. Yeah. Was that in Fayetteville or was it in Little Rock?
Yeah, it was in Fayetteville.
Okay.
Down in Little Rock. The thing about that game is it was very similar to this Cowboys-Vikings game that happens Sunday night.
Mm.
Where going into the game, I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a blowout. And I was right, but completely wrong, because I thought it was going to be a blowout the other way. And that's always a weird feeling when you're like, oh, yeah, this like, – I thought Ole Miss was going to smoke Arkansas.
Yeah, well, it was a deal where they, like, almost doubled them up on yards, I think.
Yeah.
And they just had like three turnovers. It's one of those just weird games where you're like, how did this happen again? Because they had 700 yards of offense and came up with no points. Or what, 6 points, whatever it was.
Losing that way was like, it's got to be the most offensive yards. The most yards to points in SEC history, but I would let Josh Dubb let me know if that's the case.
I do think, you know, there's got to be – I didn't see very many people talking about this at all, but the there is a factor of, you know, they had just played Alabama really, really tightly the week before. And you know, right? Wasn't it the week before?
Yeah.
Right. So,
their coaches leaving.
Oh, well, yeah. There's a little bit of a letdown, though. I kind of think that has more to do with than anything. But I mean, of course, players are chronically online these days, so there's just no way anyone could avoid rumors about their coach going to another job, which, you know, I don't, as strong-willed as anyone might be, it's got to affect you.
Yeah. I just tonight is one of the weirder nights in Auburn Twitter history, because you've got the television. If you to recap, let me reset Auburn Twitter for everybody who's not on Twitter, but who listens to this show, which I don't know, it's probably three or four of you.
God bless you.
Yeah, get off Twitter is the answer. But you
Truth Social, right?
Jeez. You'd be a real origin truther if you were on Truth Social. Yeah. So basically the television sports guy in Starkville, Mississippi tweeted today that in the same tweet he said that Auburn has not offered its coaching position to anyone, but that Lane Kiffin was going to step down on Friday after the Egg Bowl. I saw people saying, was he going to do it before the Egg Bowl? No, the Egg Bowl's on Friday.
It's on Thursday.
That's right. It's on Thanksgiving Day now. So he's going to do it on Friday, day after the Egg Bowl. He's going to step down and become Auburn's head coach the next day. Be announced.
Despite not having an offer.
be announced on Friday and then be able to recruit on Saturday. It's all happened in the same tweet. Then Lane Kiffin, who is extremely online.
Oh, yeah.
Saw it and said that was fake news. Also said, like, oh, it's news to me. Check your sources. Then it appeared made a either a graphic or printed out a piece of paper.
Fake press release.
That said that the reporter was leaving his job and going to another station.
And then posted a picture of his crotch before that. I think
before all of it, yeah, he posted a picture of him reading a book called The Egg Bowl, and he was in LeBron James fashion on page one of the book.
He wasn't even on page one. He was in the prelude in the front.
Yeah, cover. Yeah. He was reading the front flap.
Do y'all get that joke, by the way? That there's like 50 pictures of LeBron reading on Instagram or whatever, and on every single one of them, he's on the first page of every book.
Nah, man, I've been reading these books since way before. I already read it once. Like, trust me, I talked to the guy who wrote it as he wrote it.
Yeah, no, man. I was telling people Dostoevsky's going to be fire. Y'all just got to pay attention to this. But he's like, there would be a picture of him on the elliptical reading like Crime and Punishment, and he's on like the first page.
You gotta start somewhere, man.
And the next post is him and he's reading some other massive work and he's on the first page.
Fast reader, dude.
Just book a day.
You gotta stay humble somehow. You can only be at the top in so many things.
I just can't believe this is his life. All right. I do love him so much. I am gonna cape. I'll cape for the king anytime. But speaking of basketball, Auburn is playing another game this week, and we have Shooting Hoops Will McLaughlin here to tell us a little bit about that as well. Auburn went 2-0. Auburn is undefeated still, and in the last two games it played, doubled the number of three-pointers it made in its first two games.
That's right.
Hey, progress, right?
Hey, and we're 1-0 in the Cancun tournament.
If Auburn continues at this pace, this week it will make like 17 threes a game.
Yeah, there we go. I'm
okay. Like hold on. Let's pray for 17 threes the rest of the season.
Because we went from making 4 threes a game week 1 to 8 threes a game week 2. Stonks.
You know, it's
going all the way up.
You know who's making threes that hadn't made threes before this year?
Chris Moore.
Chris Moore.
Good old Simo.
Simo.
You know who's still not making three is Jalen Williams. I don't. Is he 0 for 14 now or something like that? Like it's not gotten good.
I'll have to look.
He's hit a couple this year. I think he's hit two.
He started the year over 10. So if he's hit any, it's been in the last game.
Here's my thing with him.
Okay.
Also, hi, Thomas Northcutt is on the podcast. I just showed up. I try to speak nothing but positive words about this program because I love it. I have very fond memories. But can somebody pretty please fix Jalen's jump shot? I love you, Jalen. You're great. But it hurts me to my core. I mean, I'm also very, very aware. I was blessed to get to work with guys like TJ Lang and Jared Harper and Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown once told me I had a nice jump shot, and I would have put that on a plaque on my wall.
You probably should.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly. He told me that in the O-Dome, when we went over and did our walkthrough and everything. Nicest thing anybody's ever told me. But so I've been very fortunate to see some pretty jump shots, and Jalen's is just clunky and it's not, it clearly got him to this level. I'm not trying to bash on the kid too much because he's a very talented player. But, man, there's nothing that hurts my feelings more than just an ugly jump shot, and especially when it's not going in. I like to think of a quote that an announcer said in an Auburn game. I believe it was 2015 at Arkansas. It was either 15 or 16 at Arkansas, and the announcer, we were getting absolutely drummed. And the announcer goes, they're called fundamentals for a reason. They're supposed to be fun. It's not called sad dementals. And that has been my favorite quote of all time. And that's just one of those ones where it's like, put some fun into your jump shot. Get it. Stop bringing it around town.
It's not called sad. You need to
do this and then do this. It's straight up. Oh, sorry.
That's my rap. Now, he's got probably one of the second or third ugliest three-point jump shots we've had besides
at Flanagan's is really
no. You guys horrible. Are missing the one that I own. The only one I've ever bagged on openly on this show that Thomas had actually a hand in was
I know exactly when
Anthony's shot was Max. Beautiful. It was just slow.
Hey, okay,
it's a beautiful shot. It was just slow.
Hold on, I am defending myself here. If you want to know the year that Anthony McLemore had his highest 3-point percentage,
that's right.
It was 2017-18, and you know who shot with him before every single game that season? Me.
Did you have to get to the gym an hour early just to get 10 shots up?
We would be out as soon as the 90-minute clock started running every game. We were the first people out there. We were out there for probably 25 minutes just shooting threes. And I, like,
you got again, 25 shots in 25 minutes. That's pretty.
Hey, and
you it's know a slow shot, but it looked good.
I was a lockdown defender the whole time, but his shot was slow. I thought you were gonna say everybody's favorite point guard, Cinnamon Toast Bowser.
Oh boy, yeah,
that the man.
I like that shot. I like
the man shot. Who shot it on the way down.
Yeah, that one was just comedy, though. That's
I think
nothing. Will
he had he also had one of the most horrendous free throw shots as well. Just this weird, oh god, it was so weird.
Did you guys see the
yeah?
Did you guys see the tweet today from Today in Auburn History that was something like Auburn got its first win in what is now Neville Arena on this day in 2010, and it was a picture of the guys walking off the court that day. The size of the shorts that my guys are wearing is just comical. It looks like they are wearing like genie pants from the 90s. And we were all complicit in this.
Ginkgo jeans, man. That's what it was.
The
basketball shorts will forever go up and down, like a slide whistle. Like, you know, for the first 30 years of the sport, everybody wore booty shorts. Then we had 15 years of everybody put on shorts that go past your knees. And I'm still self-conscious of my knees to this day because of that.
Me too, Thomas. Yeah. I have to wear long shorts. I can't wear the short shirt thing.
Skies out, thighs out does not apply to me. Yep. I do not have confidence in it because I spent too much time around basketball in the early 2000s.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And now everybody's rolling their shorts up so that way they got the – They got the thighs out again.
I've got a couple pair of khakis that come above my knees, and I'm like, I can't. Every time I put them on, I'm like, I can't do this.
I've had to force myself to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm very proud of myself. My thighs still look nice and pasty by the end of the summer, but you know what? We're getting somewhere.
I just posted the picture in the Slack for your reference. The guy in the back of the photograph. I mean, those aren't shorts. Like
those are custom hula shorts from the Maui.
I'm telling you, man.
In the world,
bro, that's what they looked like, Will. And I had a pair of shorts like that, and that's all I wore. And we would, when I was in high school, we would wear no socks or ankle socks, and then shorts that went down almost to our mid calf, and that was like a normal look. And then the biggest jersey you could find. Just so like now you're like, how did you move?
That's Dollard in the back, isn't it?
The Josh Dollard?
It's not. No.
Not 2010.
Is that a Frankie Sullivan team?
2010? Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because Frankie started what in 08? 07, 08?
Chris Denson on that team, I think.
That's him in the
that's CD. Not... CD was on that team, I think.
Yeah. No, he was. The first year we played there, so was Kenny Gabriel. Which was what, 09, 2010, right?
2010, 2011.
Yeah. 10-11, yeah. Because the tweet mentions that Auburn lost its first three games of the year all at home. and won the first game in what is now Neville Arena, game four. So, in front of what I can only imagine was dozens of fans.
Tens of fans.
Just people just cheering hard for the Tigers. Things have changed. Shorts have gotten a little bit shorter. Tickets have gotten
it was harder to come by. It's only a couple years after this that the shorts were suddenly short again.
And and now the tickets are much more difficult to get.
Yes. Hashtag make shorts short again.
So what, Will, who does Auburn have this week?
So Auburn's got three games.
I know the answer, but I'm asking you like.
Oh, I know. No, you're good. So Auburn's going to play three games this week. When you're listening to this podcast, playing tonight at 5:00 against the Bradley Braves of the Missouri Valley Conference. They play Wednesday either against Northwestern or Liberty, depending on the results of games tomorrow. Both those games are in Cancun, by the way, which is a lot warmer than where we are right now. Real quick on Bradley, what I'll say is if people say that Auburn may have too much depth. Well, Bradley's the opposite. They are definitely struggling with depth right now.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, so they've got a couple starters out due to injury, including their top leading returning scorer from last year, who was their big man. He's averaged like 11-8 last year. And then they lost another one to like a wrist injury last week. So I don't think they have much depth. They're 3-1 on the season. And then there's Northwestern and Liberty. Liberty lost to Southern Miss in their Cancun Challenge campus game. Southern Miss is 4-0. But they're always – Liberty's usually always a tough-nosed, defensive, low-scoring team. We've got those two games in Cancun, but the game on Sunday back at Neville Arena, it's going to be a good one. I really hate it's in this time slot, to be honest, because I'm looking forward to seeing Auburn play in St. Louis. Heck of a point guard matchup. Yuri Collins, Wendell Green. Yuri Collins is an outstanding point guard. Got to see him play Auburn when those two teams locked up in St. Louis last year. And he was terrific, and they've got a lot of really good shooters. And I know last year they let a 13-point lead with 9 minutes to go slip away, and I know they're coming to Auburn looking to get some revenge on us after that. That's going to be a tough game. I will say this about St. Louis. Maryland took it to them Saturday, but they bounced back and beat Providence on Sunday. So they have one loss coming into this game, but literally looking forward to that Auburn-St. Louis matchup. That's definitely easily the best home game on the non-conference schedule this year. That's a real quick three-game outlook of what Auburn's got this week.
Yeah, and that's now becoming, I don't know, recently it's a regular series sort of deal. We played St. Louis, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, last of a three-year series. They played the first one in Birmingham, 1920. They're actually supposed to play in the Orlando Invitational 2021, but obviously they got canceled because of COVID. And then, so they technically skipped that year, although they could have played each other there. And then home and home these last 2 years, last year being in St. Louis, and then finishing up this year in Auburn. So it was kind of like a 2-for-1, but one of them was at a neutral site, which was technically a home game for Auburn.
Yeah. So it's cool.
How good is St. Louis?
Do it now.
How good is St. Louis? The Billikens.
Well, the Billikens are, if looking at the KenPom rankings, are at 43 right now. Adjusted offense, they're 13th in the country. So they've played Memphis. They beat a really good Memphis team, I think. I know we talk about Memphis in light, but I think that Memphis team's actually really good this year. So they do have a win over Memphis as well. So they've played a very challenging schedule. They also beat Murray State as well. Everybody's favorite Auburn's Twitter buddy. So they have wins over
Murray State. Friend of the
show. Yep. Friend of the show. Yep. So they've played a challenging schedule with wins over Murray State, Memphis, and Providence. Like I said, they've played Maryland, and Maryland actually lost. They lost to Maryland, but that Maryland team is really good. So I don't. And it was a 28-point loss. So I mean, they got blown out, no question about it. But they did beat the defending Big East regular season champs the following day. So that's going to be an interesting game, especially the day after the Iron Bowl. There could be a lot going on that day, Auburn-wise. But, I mean, when I want to sit here and speculate, I hate that. But, again, I hate that it's a 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon tip just because I was really looking forward to that game this year. So, yeah, but definitely will be one of Auburn's tougher non-conference games, especially at home. They've got some other guys, too, that give me a second. Got some other guys that are on their team. But it's a very veteran team. Brought a lot of guys back from last year. I mean, they're averaging 81 points a game, but they are giving up 77 points a game. So, yeah, Gibson Jemerson was the other guy. I know we talked about him. He's a 44% three-point shooter.
Is he related to – nope, never mind.
And they've got some other guys.
I was going to ask you. Jimmer Fredette.
No, not quite. But yeah, they've got a couple other guys.
In my brain. You said this guy has a different first and last name than him? Maybe he is.
Jimmerson, yeah. But yeah, Javonte Perkins, Javon Pickett, who played at Mizzou. They've got some really good players, veteran players. And again, that's going to be a fun matchup on Sunday. I think I've said that three times already. So,
but is it going to be a fun matchup on Sunday?
Well, it may be fun from an outsider's perspective, but from an Auburn fan's perspective, I don't know.
College basketball is so wild now because, like, guys just move around everywhere. And you end up with all these people that you've played before on different teams playing for another team that you end up playing. Xavier Pinson's on his, fourth team now?
Yeah.
In his sixth year of eligibility or whatever it is. So
we're definitely coming to the end of the reign of guys with 6 and 7 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And COVID. And I mean, and also now add the change to the rule this offseason of you can only transfer one time and that's it is going to make things a little bit easier because now you lose a lot of that sort of like internal NIL recruiting that you've been seeing the last couple of years. And you won't see as many people applying for hardship waivers and stuff like that, which is – it's going to be good for the game. I do think that – I think it's good to have these guys being able to get competitive and have, like, those kind of transfers. But at the same time, you do want a little bit of consistency, and you don't want it to turn – you don't want it to turn into the NBA already. Like, if we wanted to do that, we would completely disavow the NCAA, which we should, but for different reasons.
Yeah, I agree. I think limiting it to one free transfer basically is good. I mean, you can transfer again if you want to lose a year, just like you normally could. I'm fine with that too. But I think that's a good like middle ground between this whole like essentially free agency that we've been dealing with lately.
The one good thing about it has been there was a lot of worry when the transfer portal got really big that this like all the high majors would get all the star players and it would lessen the level of playing field. And I think because you've had fewer spots and you've had guys want to go and get more playing time, they've gone to these lower level schools. And so there's still that realm of parity. That's the word I was looking for. Parity that you don't see in other sports, a la, you know, not as much in college football. A little more this year than we've seen in years past, but you are seeing that too. But I mean, the whole with the COVID thing, you know, whenever they gave those guys an extra year of eligibility, like it was great for them. But then you had the downside of, you know, looking 2-3 years down the road and there's only so many spots and only five guys can play at once, you know. So now you're kind of seeing the downside of that whole rule that was put in a couple of years ago because there's just only so many spots to go around. But like Thomas was saying, like I think once you get past this year, maybe next year, you know, those hardships, 6th, 7th years will kind of start fading off again. So that'll be good for them. Hey, one other name on this roster, Crow, you may recognize the father's name, Larry Hughes. His son is on this.
Larry Hughes has a son on this team?
Yeah, he's a freshman. So I did not know that until about 5 minutes ago. So doesn't play much, but just thought I'd mention that.
I do think it's it is pretty cool that I feel like every year for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe more than that years. We've played a team that has a 90s NBA legend or sometimes 2000 kid on their team.
We played one last week.
Yeah, we played Shaquir O'Neal this last week. Sharif O'Neal was on LSU last year when we played him. He didn't play, I don't think. I mean, there's Scottie Pippen Jr. We've played against. We played against Ron Artest's kid.
Cal State Northridge.
I mean, kids everywhere. Walker Kessler, his dad, '90s NBA legend, right? Jabari Smith's dad. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Antoine Mason's dad.
The
most iconic one of all.
No joke.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, indeed. But it is cool to see these guys' kids, these guys I grew up watching their kids, you know, play for these teams. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Carmelo Anthony's kid is a 4-star recruit in like the 2024 class, I think, which is so bizarre to me.
Well, LeBron's kid should be a senior now.
He's a senior next year?
They're the same age, I believe. They're 24. Okay. They're both 24, I thought.
Okay.
I think you're right. Well, and don't forget LeBron got his second son who looks even better than the first one.
Yeah, I don't think LeBron's going to be in the league when the second kid gets there, but I do think he will be LeBron-y.
Here's the thing. LeBron might have you know what? If I say anything, I might get fined for tampering. But LeBron might have some like Captain America super secret serum locked away somewhere. I don't know what
you heard it. You heard it here first. Bron in the Nets.
Well, he was in Space Jam, you know. Yeah,
If I speak, I get in trouble.
How wild would Bron to the? Yeah. Anyway,
it would. You know what?
It would not be the dumbest thing that's happened
in
the NBA.
It would not be the first time I've been sitting on this couch. Thing. A couple weeks ago, I said, well, you know what? At least I can say this isn't the first time I got yelled out or yelled at by a protester outside one of our games. I'll leave it at that.
So
if anyone in my office is listening to this, no, you're not.
No, you're not. Guys, all right, let's go real quick back to football. So that was our basketball section of the podcast. If you're listening to this, and we're circling right on back to football, but this time we're not talking about Kiff, we're talking about CAD.
Yeah.
So Cardell got this team believing, got this team 2-1 underneath him.
That's right.
He mentioned in a press conference today something that Chief and I and the rest of the guys have talked a lot about, is that something occurred and now all of a sudden this defense is good again.
Yeah.
And we don't know. Yeah. Like, it's legitimately averaging like half under Cardell, who doesn't know anything about, doesn't do anything on the defensive side.
Yeah.
This team is like twice as good.
Same defensive coordinator. Runner.
Yeah. Twice as good yards per play.
It's pretty bizarre. And honestly, like, the only thing you can look at is just rotation of personnel, which we just didn't do before because the other guy didn't believe in it, apparently. And it makes a world of difference when your guys don't look like they are done halfway through the third quarter, which is how we looked in every game up until the last three. And I mean, because if you remember, we started out every game pretty good on defense. Like, we were fine. And then third and fourth quarter, it was just, we just couldn't keep up anymore. And that's the only theory that I can buy. I think there's more, a little, you know, some more effort going on. There's a little extra energy in the room, which helps too, especially on defense. But that personnel rotation has to be helping immensely.
I mean, I would also throw out there, I think it's important. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. You look at the games before the coaching change.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Penn State, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, all, and Missouri's in there too, but we should not have won that game. and then even Arkansas, those teams, like, those are all better than current Mississippi State, current Texas A&M, and Western Kentucky. But the one thing I would also, you know, throw in there, and I'm going to stall for a second because I had a good point and then I forgot it. I think that I found it. I think one thing that honestly, and this maybe I'm just a little bit too naive here, but it honestly just feels like the fact that we've been able to control the ball a little bit better on offense and save a little bit of energy, like being at the Texas A&M game in the first half and watching some of those drives that just felt like they lasted forever. I like stuff like that. I think can't go, you know, unnoticed. We're like, first of all, we're killing the clock a little bit and we're giving that defense a little bit extra time to rest. And then in the second half, they were getting those three and out. So they weren't on the field for very long. So at least it balanced out with how short the team was on the field during those moments.
Here's the wildest thing. The wildest thing is that we've got an interim head coach. The entire offensive staff, for the most part, has been fired. And the offense has gotten less vanilla. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
We aren't throwing the ball, but we're just doing all kinds of different. I mean, we're running I formation. We're doing a little bit of shotgun. There's probably a little pistol in there. There's three tight end sets. Yeah.
It's amazing what happens when you get the ball to your best players.
I mean, that's all anybody ever wants you to do.
It's a novel concept, you know? And Auburn's done a good job of doing that the last 2-3 weeks. And when Carnell took over, he's like, yeah, we're going to run the ball. And that's what they've done. And it's been fun to watch the last few weeks. It really has.
Do you think that other guy's been sitting at home watching these games?
I imagine he has.
What do you think he thinks?
I'm going to be frank with you, Chief. I think he's not a very good person.
Well.
And I'm going to be frank with you again. I think Carnell Cadillac Williams is a better coach of football than what we had.
I mean, the results don't lie. So,
but I also think what Carnell sees is what the last guy should have seen is that, like, we probably can't pass.
Yeah, you just can't keep trying to do things that don't work. I think that's the real big takeaway that the other guy couldn't figure out. I don't know.
Robbie did have a nice deep ball early in that game Saturday, and Shedrick dropped it. Caught it.
Yeah.
And it came to the ground and dropped it. And that was a well thrown ball. I'll give Robbie that. But yeah, I'm with you guys with the pass.
He's had his flashes. I'll give it to him. Like, even that touchdown pass against A&M, like, I watched that and I saw that in person and I was just like, I didn't know he had that in his locker. Granted, that should not have been that difficult of a throw, but you know.
It was about 6 feet off, like 6 inches off the grass.
Yeah, hit him in the back of it. He got it back here, but it was
Just get it to your guys.
For a guy who's a freshman who got really thrusted into this, you know, really kind of crappy situation, like, you just gotta, like, he's doing the best he can. And I try to give him as much credit as I can here because I can't imagine being in his shoes with everything going on.
Yeah, well, he's all we've got, too. I mean, we're not going to throw, rightfully so, not going to throw a freshman behind this offensive line. Even if they've improved a little, it's just not something that needs to happen. And clearly they know that because he has not seen the field since they've been here. Because I think I don't know how many times he saw the field before, how many games. It may have only been one. I thought it was more. But anyway, either way, we're just – clearly they know they can't put him back there. It's just not going to be great for him. Maybe he's just not ready anyway. Hey, if push comes to shove, Jarquez Hunter could be our quarterback.
Hey, that was a heck of a throw.
I appreciated that.
I did.
That
I loved
a heck of a throw.
I was like Leo in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when that happened. I was like, I know that play. as soon as it happened.
It was a good play.
Yeah,
it was a really good play, and I think the
there was the right time for it. They'd kind of been setting up similar things the entire game, and then all of a sudden they roll that out there. You know, Gorgeous Al Borges probably saw that happen and thought,
"Yeah, we got it now." You saw they he confirmed that was like
it's the exact same play. Yeah,
yeah. He told Will Friend, "Hey, I want to try this," and Will Friend
this play.
Put it in.
My only complaint with the play was, man, we should have saved that for next week.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
We might have a few more. I mean, Auburn's run a great deal of trick plays over the years, so I think we can if they really want to delve in and pull out all the stops, throw a little greatest hits of Auburn.
The best of.
Yeah.
Gonna say it's catch and grab
classics. So. Yeah. Oh, please. I hope this week is we just throw everything at them.
Just gotcha. It's just the whole game is just trick play after trick play, fake punt. The punter, the kicker the holder throwing the ball over his shoulder.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know how fast Evan or Alex is. I'm not sure if he's got
fast the, enough.
I don't know if he's got the wheels that Damon Duval had on him.
Anders has got some wheels, I feel like.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I guess it's true.
I mean, what does Auburn have to lose this weekend? Absolutely nothing. Like, go all out. Throw it all out there. Whatever happens. I mean,
I fully expect us to do just that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're playing with house money. Derek Hall said it today. He said that we can either go out there and pull off, you know, a huge win against Alabama, or we can just go out there and try as hard as we can. Give it our all for Auburn. He's like, it's a win-win situation. It's like, yeah.
I think what you've seen this last 3 weeks, there's no doubt they're going to do that. Now, whether or not they come away with the win on Saturday or not, we'll see. But
heroes get remembered.
I'm a lot more hopeful than I was 3 weeks ago, that's for sure.
Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
It's true. It's true. I never would have thought that I would have been anticipating the Iron Bowl this year, and here I am. I'm excited for it. Maybe we get killed. I don't know. I don't. This Alabama team is not that scary. They have nothing to play for this weekend, like nothing.
Well, they have the only thing to play for is to not lose three games.
Hold on. Can you say that one more time for me? I don't want to hear that again.
They have nothing to play for.
Who doesn't have anything to play for?
The Alabama Crimson Tide have nothing.
What a wonderful
sound. Wait, is that true? Did LSU clinch the West?
Yeah, LSU.
LSU they've got the head-to-head. Tigers clinched it, I think, last week.
I love it when first-year coaches make it to the SEC championship game, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
That's right.
Amen.
And it can be done.
Oh, you think Ole Miss is going to make the title game next year?
Does Hugh Freeze count as a first year head coach? Yeah.
Here's the
taking it to Atlanta. What is that?
Worst case scenario is we hire Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss hires Cadillac Williams as their head football.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I would be so horribly mad.
That'd be the most petty thing that Ole Miss could ever do.
The whole game against him, I would just be weeping. Like, I don't know
that would be the worst case of buyer's remorse that anyone has had if that swap.
Ah, dang it.
That would just be the I'm trapped in a glass case of emotion moment that none of us want.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about that. Yeah.
Don't hire Travis. Don't hire Cadillac. Keep our boys away from y'all. That's the whole thing about Travis, too. Everybody's like, I want Travis to get a P5 coaching job. He better not be in this conference because I would absolutely can't stand
able to play against him. I'd be okay with Travis being there. I could hope we won. He could win every other game. That's fine. I'd be fine with that. Because they're still Ole Miss. Like, there's nothing Travis can do that's going to make them make it to Atlanta. Yeah, he can best thing he could do would be like win 10 games, you know, and then come coach Auburn.
We just keep
then,
hiring on
yes, then we just keep taking their coaches.
Oh my god!
Just turn it into a pipeline.
They just become they become like the Borussia Dortmund to our Manchester City or whoever. Like
they're the junior varsity to our varsity.
Our Bayern, I hate being the Bayern, but I guess
I know. Me too. We would be. Yeah, they're Bayern.
You're always somebody's Bayern.
Yeah, I wasn't as plugged into the Tommy Tuberville coaching search at that time. Like, I remember the whole Pine Box thing like 2 days
ago. The Pine Box thing is wild. That is, if you look back on that, if Twitter existed, would have been the wildest thing.
You can find that press conference on YouTube. It's available for,
that son of a gun said, the only way I'm leaving here is in a pine box.
And it was 3 days later.
And in 3 days,
later, there was not a lot of time separating that comment and when he took the job.
Even Saban's Dolphins thing, where he's like, "I don't know how else to say it, guys. I'm not gonna be Alabama's head coach right now." And then, like 2 days later, he's Alabama's head coach.
Yeah.
But he would say, I think he said, like, he didn't know he was going to take that job when he made that press conference.
Yeah, yeah. That was a weird situation.
Lane even brought up Pine Box today in his press
conference. He did. He said the words.
On purpose, man.
Pine Box.
Yeah, I could give you a Pine Box speech. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
He's trolling somebody. He's either trolling Ole Miss or us.
Yeah.
But both, probably.
Because I told Will, like, either he's coming or he's not. Like, and if he's not coming, it is the troll of all trolls.
Yeah.
And he becomes like
the king.
The king slash like public enemy number one in Alabama.
Legendary troll.
And you know what? No matter what, you have to respect the hell out of it.
No, I would respect it. I wouldn't hate the guy. I wouldn't
either.
Fully expect him to do this.
He's just like he's like 3-year letterman. As a real person, as a coach.
It's going to be so great when he retires Saban, and then they hire Urban Meyer, and then he re-retires Urban Meyer again. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be the best.
Yep. Man, that is good times. Well,
covered everything?
We covered it all, fellas. We covered it all. Yeah, we didn't get into early aughts rap rock though, but let's another time. Anybody got anything going on for Thanksgiving? Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a classic podcast close. What is your favorite thing on the Thanksgiving table?
Mm.
Dr. McLaughlin, you can go first because you're closest to the left of my screen.
Gosh. Throw me on the spot. I mean, I'm more of a ham person. So I'll say ham. I'll be bored.
You do ham on Thanksgiving?
We do ham. I'm not a big turkey prick, but I ham.
We used to do ham and
ham, turkey. Ham and mashed potatoes.
Okay.
So.
Sweet ham or savory ham?
Doesn't matter. Ham is ham to me.
Ham. Ham is ham
say
to me.
Say that again. Amen.
Hey,
yeah.
It's food to me.
So. Is ham to you?
I like a good ham. I'm torn because there's two dishes that I really love. I'm gonna go my mother-in-law's dressing, stuffing, whatever you want to call it, dressing. It's delicious. She makes a not spicy and a spicy variant. The spicy variant. Choice. She always makes me, if I'm not going to be there, she makes me my own little souffle dish of that sometimes. Also, her sweet potato casserole is tops. I would actually eat that. Sometimes I like to put a little whipped cream on it. Just
Man, just living over here.
Boy.
LIVIN. Tomas, what do you think?
I'm sticking with that sweet potato casserole.
There we go.
Ugh. Get the marshmallows on top.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and Golden Brown. Oh, oof. Nothing better. There's nothing better. You know, I'm with Will. I'm taking the ham over the turkey. You know, a nice mac and cheese is always a nice touch.
Mm.
You know, good mashed potatoes, good green beans, all that. But there's not a lot better than you start out, you get your sweet potatoes, and then for dessert, you break out the pumpkin pie.
Oh yeah, pumpkin pie.
Oh. That is the best part of Thanksgiving right there.
I love the green bean casserole. The green bean casserole is like, it's normally made with like a cream mushroom soup can with a can of beans. One year my mom made it like legit, like from scratch. Mm. And I remember being like, is this what this is supposed to taste like? This is incredible. like I've loved it up until this, but this is so much better. And I also love dark meat on the turkey, which is great because no one else in my family, for some reason, everybody else eats the white meat, and so
I like dark. I like dark meat.
The darks.
Yeah, I like the dark meat turkey. I
the white meat is inedible to me most of the time. It's like this is just dry.
It really depends. I'd say I've had bad turkey on Thanksgiving more times than I've had good turkey.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like.
If my ham's around, though,
kind of hard to screw up. So that's why I usually work over the ham. But my father-in-law smoked a turkey one year after injecting it or something with Cajun stuff. So it was a Cajun smoked turkey, and it was amazing. And I've been chasing that high ever since, and haven't really.
One year, we bought a turkey from this barbecue restaurant that's now like top 50 in the state of Texas, and I'm chasing that high. I'm like, look. Should we just go buy this turkey? It was not cheap, but it was like, I mean, this is, it's not going to get, we're not going to do better than that. No, it was amazing. All right. Well, guys, have a happy Thanksgiving and a War Eagle weekend.
Keep on cocking.